Hello, rock and roll rebels, and welcome to another episode of Ramble On with Rosie. The time may have changed, but the subject matter has not. We are still discussing rock and roll, just episodes will be posted on Fridays now instead of Mondays. And true to form, with the topic staying the same, I'm back to talking about Bruce Springsteen, and no one is surprised. Last week was the 30th anniversary of the dual release of Human Touch and Lucky Town, which I understand that this particular period in Bruce's career gets some heat, especially for his quote-unquote abandonment of the E Street Band. I am here to make the point that Human Touch and Lucky Town are in fact some pretty good albums, and even as much as I love the E Street Band and think Bruce is at his best when he's got the band, and I don't think anybody's really going to argue with that, Human Touch on Lucky Town might just be better than Tone Love Love, which has the E Street Band. So, asterisk, Bruce is at his best when the E Street Band is at its best. The weird tensions of him going through divorce and, you know, the band sort of him distancing himself from them before he outright didn't put them on his next two albums or so. That weirdness going on there. I would say that, you know, that contributed to everything sort of feeling off in Tunnel of Love. Not that Tunnel of Love is not a good album. I just, controversial take here, prefer Human Touch or Lucky Town to it. I sort of regard these two albums as kind of one big chunk. It's hard to pick a favorite because some of them have really good songs. I mean, both of them have really good songs. And they also have a couple songs that you're like, I could have lived without that being on there. Regardless. So rather than dissect the songs on each album as to which is better or which is worse, or my personal thoughts, I've decided to look at the lyrics of five songs of each album, so 10 total, and I paired them up like wine and cheese and picked a song off of Human Touch that paired with a song off of Lucky Town for five pairings. Because I feel like that's a good way to explore it. I mean, heck, my favorite song off of the cumulative both of these albums didn't even make either of these lists, because I think Soul Driver's probably my favorite song off of either of these two albums. And it didn't work with this theme, so let that be noted. There's no bias here, other than I probably did totally ignore Gloria's Eyes, because I do not like that song. Nothing about it appeals to me. So y'all know my fave and my least fave, and getting on to the topic material, we're going to start with a sort of moral philosophizing by Bruce, with the contrast of With Every Wish versus The Big Muddy, because they both are exploring similar territory. With Every Wish kind of covers the internal ways we mess up our lives, the way we sort of sully our morals and make questionable decisions and ruin good things, like, you know, the relationship in With Every Wish that he sort of sabotages. While Big Muddy is more external, with, like, the mistresses and the money and the ethics of living and how those end up getting corrupted and compromised as one lives one's life, almost inevitably. You're not gonna stay with that high, ethical, idealistic way that you viewed life as a child. And same way the child in With Every Wish learns that maybe going after that fish was not your best choice, especially because you skipped church to do it, you know, fill in school, whatever you want to. You ignored your quote-unquote moral, or at least, you know, civic duties to go pursue this thing that ended up kind of biting you in the butt and not being what you thought it was going to be. And, like, the lines from these two songs that sort of illustrate this are, but on the far bank, there's always another forest where a man can get lost, which is from With Every Wish, versus Big Muddy, which, but you and I were messier things. You know, both of these are sort of exploring where you either, you know, you get lost, you get messy, things are dirty, you know, things are muddy. It's, you know, whether you're stuck in the mud and Big Muddy or lost in the forest, the effect is sort of the same. You don't have this clear-cut path that you ideally would think that you would expect to have in your life as a child. Things get dirty, things get messy, you lose the compass, and you get stuck in the mud. So, moving on from there to the more common theme throughout both of them and the previous album, which is relationships. Bruce, as y'all know, is a master of writing relationship songs because I've discussed this ad nauseum in almost every episode that I've done about Bruce. So I won't overemphasize his brilliance at writing songs about relationships much more because if you've listened to any of my episodes on Bruce, you know that this is a high highlight key point for me out of Bruce's songwriting. So the next pairing of Wine and Cheese off of Human Touch and Lucky Town is Soul Driver with If I Should Fall Behind. Now, Soul Driver is another one of my favorite songs. Like it's up there with, what did I say the other one was? Did I say I didn't use Soul Driver on the list? Oh, well, I used Soul Driver on this list. Forgot I had. Anyways. So, yes, I did include my favorite song. But Soul Driver is filled with the doubts around romance, while If I Should Fall Behind is more the determination in spite of the doubts. Like, you know, they use some similar imagery with the use of rivers in the song, which turns up in some other places too. In fact, with the previous two songs, both with Every Wish and Big Muddy, obviously Big Muddy, but both of those reference rivers throughout the song, and especially right before those two lines that I quoted, rivers are mentioned. So there's a lot of rivers. There's various phrasings that come up quite frequently in both these songs. We'll get to some of the other ones later on. But anyways, back to Soul Driver. The lyrics from those Soul Driver and If I Should Fall Behind that sort of pair together are, "No one knows which way love's wheel turns," which is from Soul Driver, versus "But each lover's steps fall so differently," which is from If I Should Fall Behind, which they're sort of plowing the same territory. There's doubts there, but the determination is found in If I Should Fall Behind, where, like, they're going to make it through. You know, Soul Driver kind of adds doubt where If I Should Fall Behind makes promises. Like, it's like, we're gonna make it work. It's affirmations from the singer and requesting the same from his spouse-to-be in If I Should Fall Behind, versus Soul Driver is dwelling very much on the doubts of what goes on in the relationship. Like, you know, "Will we crash and burn?" and "Here's to our destruction" aren't exactly optimistic or, you know, promissory lines where you're like, okay, we're gonna make this work. It's like, I don't know if it'll work, but it's worth a shot. Which comes up often in these pairings that I've come up with of the songs between the Human Touch and Lucky Town songs, which is that there's usually like, these two songs are, you know, exploring the same thing, but one's like a little bit more mature in its exploration of the same theme. Like, Soul Driver is sort of doubtful and immature versus If I Should Fall Behind, maybe like one of the most mature love songs out there, you know, because it's acknowledging that, hey, this is doubtful, this is weird, things are uncertain because that's life, but I'm going to make things as certain as I can and try to, you know, keep this together. So those are the first two pairings. Pardon my page turning. And the next two are probably the most obvious pairing between Lucky Town and Human Touch, which is Lucky Town and Roll of the Dice. I mean, they both very much use a lot of like gambling and luck imagery throughout to illustrate the change in fortunes in the singer's life. And yet again, some similar phrasing they use over the rise in both of them, and it's funny funny in spite of the gritty melody that Lucky Town has, which is another one of my favorites. It was funny while I was listening to it, or rather, I was listening to Lucky Town's lyrics. No, vice versa. I was reading Lucky Town's lyrics, but listening to Roll of the Dice, and I was like, oh my goodness, if you set Lucky Town to Roll of the Dice, it'd feel optimistic and cheerful too. Like, it's not that depressing of a song, it's just got that really gritty sound to it, kind of like Soul Driver does. But, you know, the mood would be very different having being set to Roll the Dice's melody. I tried it the other way around, it doesn't work as well. But you could legitimately sing Lucky Town to Roll of the Dice, and it almost fits up perfectly. Don't know why it doesn't work the other way around, it just doesn't. But, anyways. The lines from those two, from Roll of the Dice, the line is, I'm a thief in the house of love and I can't be trusted. While I'm making my heist in just another roll of the dice. Contrasted with Lucky Town, which is when it comes to luck, you make your own. Tonight I got dirt on my hands, but I'm building me a new home. Like, they both infer action, but there's much more action going on in Lucky Town, where he's like, I'm gonna get messy to make this work. Like, I'm gonna find it in my guts and determination to make this work, versus Roll of the Dice, which is a little bit more trite. And, you know, relying on chance and luck. So, Roll the Dice feels like the beginning of the relationship where you're like, oh, I lucked into this person who's perfect for me and it's great, and my life sucked before them and now it's great. Versus Lucky Town, where it's like, I'm maturely viewing this and it takes hard work to make relationships work. So, that's sort of where those two pair up in a couple different ways. You know, like I said, Lucky Town takes that angle of like, hey, life is messy and I'm gonna have to get dirt on my hands to build a new home, versus Roll of the Dice being, I'm happy my life doesn't suck anymore and I've found somebody to love. You know, so more maturity there, which comes up in these songs, you know, the contrast between an immature or early stage of love and a more mature one, such as in this next pairing, which is Real World and Living Proof. Because Real World, especially with the, you know, the love we're bringing to the real world, it really does sound like another one of those songs that Bruce wrote about becoming a father. Because if you've read Bruce's autobiography, which I highly recommend, slight side note, gosh, I can't speak. Slight side note here. If you haven't read it, I highly, highly, highly recommend. Even for non-music nerds, like my friend Michael, who has zero interest in music, at least not to the extent that, you know, where he cares what the artist did and stuff. I'm like, you need to read this book. Because it's not just a good memoir. It's a good life book. I kind of sold him when I told him if I ever get married and have kids, I'm handing Born to Run by Bruce Springsteen, the book, to them around the time they're coming of age. Because it's one of those really good, prepare you for life kind of books, make you examine yourself because Bruce is busy doing the same thing throughout his book and is so raw and honest in his book. It's astonishing. I don't know that I don't even know if, like, fictitious memoirs I've read were that, you know, gritty and honest. It's really quite astounding. It's in my top three books. Like, it's the Bible, Lord of the Rings, and Born to Run. Alternatively, Les Miserables is pretty high up there too, as is the complete works of Jane Austen and the complete works of Shakespeare. But if I can only pick three, I think Born to Run might even beat Les Miserables, which is saying something, because Victor Hugo's book Les Miserables is one of the most powerful books I ever read. Born to Run's also a little bit easier to get through because it's about 900 pages shorter. And that's not to say that Born to Run's short, because Born to Run is like 400 pages. Les Miserables are a really big book. There's a reason why they call it the brick. It's about shaped like one. Anyways, so back to the topic after that pitch that you should totally read Born to Run or listen to the audiobook, which Bruce narrates and can be found on CD pretty cheaply on eBay because I bought it from my friend there. All you need to know about Born to Run there. Anyways, back to the real world, literally, to the pairing between Real World and Living Proof. So, they both very much kind of sound like they're Bruce singing about the joys of fatherhood, which, if you read the book, he goes on about that a bit. His life kind of changed when he had a kid, and not just in the, oh, I'm responsible for another human way. It's like, oh my gosh, life makes sense now. So that's really sweet. Made me sort of re-examine how I feel about having kids, because I was like, oh, I hadn't thought about that. Nice. Yeah, sort of the concept that children are a creation out of the love you and your partner have for each other. So it's like you love this person so much, you want to make that love manifest in this whole new human being you made together. Which is honestly beautiful, and I was like, oh, having kids seems more appealing when I look at it that way versus just it's your biological duty to continue the species. That doesn't exactly inspire my poetic soul very much. So, Bruce was very happy to become a papa. It is very evident in his book, and very evident in Living Proof, and somewhat a little bit more subtly in Real World. So, like, Real World is the desire for vulnerability, and in Living Proof is, like, the fulfillment of that. You know, so it's sort of like at the beginning of a relationship, it's filled with hesitation about showing who you are, and then later on, you've found it, and you've got this solid, concrete evidence and the courage to embrace what you've found. And so it's this fun sort of pairing, you know, between those two where Living Proof is kind of the sequel to Real World. You know, sort of like Real World when you find out you're pregnant, and Living Proof is when you're holding the baby sort of vibe. Also, Real World has another lyrical similarity to some of the other songs, as in it also refers to dice, and not just in any offhand way, it literally quotes a Rolling Stones song about it. So yeah, well, that being the case, it's, because it quotes Tumbling Dice, which is one of my favorite Stone songs, and I was gonna sing it for karaoke until I looked at the lyrics, and I was like, now that I know what they are and I'm not just mumbling along to it, no, I can't sing this in public in a bar. I'm not inviting that kind of conversation. But anyways, he references the Stone song, which I don't know if this is before or after he had been performed on stage with the Rolling Stones and sang Tumbling Dice with them. So I don't know. It'd have to be looked into whether this was prophetic. Bruce prophetically thinking he's going to sing Tumbling Dice, or if that hadn't happened yet. I feel like it hadn't happened yet, because this is only the early 90s. This is 1992, and I thought he didn't do that till the 2000s. Regardless, somebody correct me if I'm wrong. But anyways, the two lines from those, Real World, it's I want to find some answers. I want to ask for some help. I'm tired of running scared. Which, I mean, let those lyrics sink in for a moment. Like, that is some raw, vulnerable honesty that takes a lot of courage to show. I mean, I don't know about y'all, but I hate asking for help. So being that honest with yourself and with those around you is pretty powerful stuff. Because I've started doing that, and it's scary, but so far it's turned out okay. My friends still love me, at least, even though they know that I've got issues. Versus Living Proof, which is you do some sad, sad things when it's you you're trying to lose, which feels very much like Bruce reflecting on the man he used to be. You know, Living Proof, he's got some distance and a massive change in perspective with becoming a father, and so he's looking back on his life and is like, I didn't make some great choices there, and now I understand what my motives were. You know, and have some wisdom from that. Because, I mean, the themes with the lyrics from Real World with, you know, I want to find some answers, and I want to ask for some help, and I'm tired of running scared, especially, you know, I want to find some answers, and the overall vibe of those three lines That's not really anything particularly new for Bruce. Bruce has been saying things like that in slightly more poetic and, less direct ways since at least Born to Run, if not before. It's been there the whole time. I want to know if love is wild. I want to know if love is real, like I brought up in my New Jersey Neverland episode on Born to Run, which I did not expect to talk for that long about one song, but Born to Run may be the greatest song ever written, so that's why it ended up being 45 minutes of talking about it. Anyway, you should check out the episode if you haven't already. But back to this, it's so powerful. And also a side note here on Bruce's career in songwriting is I can't say this with dead certainty, but I think Lucky Town and Human Touch, maybe a little bit on Tunnel of Love, but Lucky Town and Human Touch for sure are like the first times Bruce is really putting himself in the role of the person who needs to adjust their life and the relationship. Because, like, think about the river. You've got the ties that bind and The Price You Pay and all those songs. He's sort of calling out the girl for her bad coping mechanisms and being scared. And it's like, hey, I got what it takes. I'm here for you, baby. And you get to Human Touch in Lucky Town, and he's like, yeah, I was scared and had my own coping mechanisms that were hurting me. So it's like he's got enough distance and wisdom with years that he's realizing it's not always the girl who's on the defensive and doing these things to protect herself, like in Ties That Bind and a whole bunch of songs, especially from the River era, Dollhouse, Be True. All those songs are focused on, like, the girl sort of being in the position where she's not fully committed to a healthy relationship. And now that he's older and wiser, Bruce is like, yeah, I had past faults. And he's putting himself as the first person narrator. It's not like, what is the song about the, it's off of Tunnel of Love, and the guy's got the tattoos on his knuckles. I cannot remember the same name of the song. But, he's mistrusting his wife and that, but I'm pretty sure that song is in the third person. Like, he names the dude. He so and so and this, and he married, this girl. It's not a first person, you do some sad things when it's you're trying to lose, or I want to find some answers and I want to ask for some help. Like, this is Bruce putting himself in that position versus the girl, which he often does. And I'm not knocking him for that. As y'all know, I love Bruce's understanding of the feminine heart and being like, oh, hey, I see that you have bad coping mechanisms are defensive because you've been hurt. Let me try to help you because I care about you. Versus other people that are like, oh, girls have thoughts? I thought you just sat on the couch and looked pretty. Those things, that depth of understanding he has, which he first applied to female characters and, third person characters, and eventually applied to his first person narratives and song, particularly around Lucky Town and Human Touch. I can't really think of a song where he did it to like the extent that it was the topic of the whole song prior to those. Not even really on Tunnel of Love. Tunnel of Love, he was still putting it in the third person with the, it's not Unwanted Man, it's not Unlucky Man, it's Something Man, the song that I was taught. Careful Man! There we go. I knew my brain would find it eventually. But yeah, it's not like a Careful Man where he's stuck it in this third person narrative. He's over here being real with himself in song, which had not happened previously that I can think of. Now, speaking of being real, we have the final pairing, which is Real Man and Leap of Faith. So we're ending on a happy note, because both of these songs are very jubilant and they're celebrations of love. Leap of Faith is sort of a more physical-based celebration of love. It sort of feels like an early stage in the relationship, like I said. A lot of Bruce's songs off of these two albums, when paired together, one very much feels like the same relationship, just, 6 months, a year, 2 years, whatever, when it's less mature. So one's like the beginning of a relationship, and the other one's sometime after it's matured more. Real man versus, being physically focused like Leap of Faith is, real man has more to do with like the character of love and what it takes to love somebody. Kind of like Real World and Living Proof. And so it feels like I said, the same relationship has matured, and so there's more certainty to it and less doubt. So like the pairing there was Leap of Faith with Tonight the Moon's Looking Young, and but I'm Feeling Younger. 'Neath a Veil of Dreams, Sweet Blessings Rain. To Honey, I Can Feel the First Breeze of Summer, and In Your Love, I've Been Born Again, and It Takes a Leap of Faith. Versus the pairing from, which album is it? I guess that, from Human Touch with Real Man is When I Look in Your Eyes, and There's One Thing I Know, Baby, I'll Be Tough Enough If I Can Find the Guts to Give You All My Love. Then I'll be feeling like a real man. So it's like Leap of Faith was okay, I'm gonna jump in this and hope it works out and seems so good so far and I'm having a lot of fun and I like this person. And Real Man is like, okay, I love this girl. Gonna have to keep an eye on myself and make sure I'm tough enough and find the guts to give you all my love. Like, think about that. That's not. Having the guts to love somebody isn't something that's discussed in most love songs, and Real Man is not exactly the deepest love song that Bruce ever wrote. Like, it's on the upbeat, kind of slightly trite side of things, and he's still getting way realer than, like, 80% of the other love songs out there. Like, he's straight up being like, I mean, who talks about having the guts to love somebody? You think about fighting a battle, but I mean, it's true. Genuine connection doesn't just fall in your lap and then it lasts forever. It takes work, It's like back in Lucky Town with, I'm building me a new home and I've got dirt on my hands. Like, it's a dedicated process. You don't just build a home with your own hands overnight. It takes time, takes dedication, takes hard work, takes guts and courage. All these things that it takes to love that don't get talked about in like 80% of the love songs. It's just like, it's all fine and we'll live happily ever after. And I'm like, you can happily live with someone for your entire life, but it takes a little bit more than tiptoeing through the tulips. It takes, getting your hands dirty and building something together. You don't stay clean when you build things. Doesn't matter whether it's carpentry, concrete work to lay a foundation. Nothing about building is clean. Like, it doesn't work that way. Have you seen new homes be built? The neighboring cars are all covered in dirt from the construction dust. So, yeah. Building a new home, building a life together with somebody, not clean. And I commend Bruce for his courage to often bring this up and put it in very plain terms that are also still poetic. Like, it's not just completely punch you in the face, this is the straight facts. It's like, this is the facts, but it's in a really good song with a really good melody, and the facts are put into lyrics in a beautiful poetic flow, which incidentally, back on my recommending Born to Run. I was ready to say songwriting, the composition, prose, whatever the word is, the composition of that book is the best first person I think I've ever read. It's really well done. Like, he writes his narrative in his book as well and with as much vulnerability, rawness, but still poetic, soulful feeling to it as he does his songs. And that really surprised me because he wrote the book by himself. He's not like a lot of the other authors, musicians who have written autobiographies who had help from somebody. He did it all by himself and he did a great job. So if you're not a fan of Lucky Town and Human Touch, maybe re-listen to them and give them a second chance. Like I said when I called into E Street Radio, or E Street Nation rather, last week and talked to Germantolo and Dave Marsh and Greg Drew about these albums having their anniversary, I made the point that Joe Strummer, who is not known to mince words if he didn't like something, wrote his somewhat famous letter praising the, praising Bruce Springsteen, rather, in the mid-90s. So, that means Human Touch and Lucky Town were out. So, clearly, Bruce had maintained Joe, who is known for speaking his mind if he didn't like something, he maintained Joe's good opinion even after the release of these two albums. So, put that in your pipe and smoke it, I guess. Or roll it, at least. Joe didn't smoke a pipe. He smoked cigarettes at an insane amount of frequency. But anyways, go listen to these two albums. Maybe check out my episode I did on the Born to Run song. Or the ones I did on Joe Strummer, because, you know, Joe's one of my favorites. As is Bruce. They're both really up there for me, an inspiration with their lives and with their music. So yeah, go be inspired. Listen to good music, and be kind to each other, and rock on, and I will be back next week with more fun rock and roll content.